A lot of folks think we've got to keep or add troops in Afghanistan because we broke it and we bought it. And some say we've got to stay for the good of Afghan women. But who is our partner and what is best for those women? Malalai Joya seems an ideal person to talk to at this time. She was born in Afghanistan's remote Farah province, grew up in refugee camps in Iran and Pakistan, and is the youngest person ever elected to the Afghan parliament. Joya was suspended from parliament in 2007 for her denunciation of warlords in government. Since then, she has survived four assassination attempts and travels in Afghanistan under a burqa and with armed guards. She was named one of the World Economic Forum's 250 Young Global Leaders and nominated for the European Parliament's Sakharov Prize for Freedom of Thought, both in 2007. She's the subject of the documentary Enemies of Happiness, which won the World Cinema Jury Prize at the Sundance Film Festival and the International Human Rights Film Award at the Berlin International Film Festival. Malalai Joya wrote A Woman Among Warlords with Derek O'Keefe. These are her words, quote, "Never again will I whisper in the shadows of intimidation. I am but a symbol of my people's struggle and a servant to their cause. And if I were to be killed for what I believe in, then let my blood be the beacon for emancipation and my words a revolutionary paradigm for generations to come." According to the official story, Malalai Joya is who we have been fighting for. But she says, again, I quote, "Dust has been thrown into the eyes of the world by your governments. You have not been told the truth. The situation now is as catastrophic as it was under the Taliban for women. Your governments have replaced the fundamentalist rule of the Taliban with another fundamentalist regime of warlords. And that is what your soldiers are dying for." Welcome, Malalai Joya.
Thank you. Thanks for this interview.
I like people to get a sense of the people behind the ideas and the work that we talk about. So what was your life prior to your run for parliament?
Yeah, my life has been changed after my speech in 2003, that first time I became elected, when we made the constitution. As the situation was quite non-democratic in the Lojirga, because most of the representative was not real representative, and they were warlords, drug lords, and these criminals who did civil war in Afghanistan from 1992 to 1996. And after 9/11, with the mask of democracy, they come in power. So few Democrat men and women was there in the Lojirga 2003, and I was one of those who stand up against them and expose their mask. As you can read some memory of that in my book as well, that how it was difficult to give me chance. Anyway, then I said, on behalf of one generation, if you give me chance, on behalf of young generation especially, then it was interesting for the chairman, a warlord man of the Lojirga.
So what you were saying was that if you give me chance, that was what you said to the people when you were running? What you said in the parliament?
No, in the Lojirga 2003. But in the parliament that I found way for the second time, there also that because every one of these warlords know about me, and more than 80% seats of the parliament belongs to warlords, drug lords, criminals. Even one member of the parliament is Talib, and they were in power, they did cheating, they spent guns, they spent lots of dollars, they had foreign supports, and they controlled Afghanistan.
Well, let me see if I've got this right. The original Lojirga was prior to the creation of parliament. It was the gathering of representatives from around the country before there was a parliament, correct?
No, there was two elections, that do not be misunderstanding.
Good.
First election, we made constitution, was Lojirga, called Lojirga, that there are representative around Afghanistan, men and women, but most of them was not real representative. But the second election was parliamentary election, that we had constitution, but now this is the time to put the law in practice.
And when you ran for parliament for the second representative entity, you were already known as an outspoken.
Yeah, because I became famous in 2003, as now I said earlier, that I stand up against them and I expose their mask for the great people around the world, not only my people, that they know about them.
And that moment when you stood up and exposed them, that really changed your life. Tell us a little bit, because I want people to get a sense of that. How old were you at the time?
On that time, I was 25
years old. 25 years old, and a woman, and you sit in this room where you see many warlords, you see people who are not actual representatives, and what went on inside of you before you spoke, and then tell the people who don't know what you said that day?
Yeah, you know, as I was a social activist, I became human rights activist when I was in refugee camps in Pakistan in high school. In the morning I was a student, in the evening I became teacher. And I had close contact with my Afghan, millions of Afghan who lived in refugee camps, different refugee camps in Pakistan, that even some journalists put the name of these camps, foreign journalists who came there, living graveyard. I cried a lot with people. I laughed with them. I know about their suffer stories. But in 1998, when I finished school on behalf of OPAC, Organization of Promoting Afghan Women Capabilities, it was like NGO, but even was not registered. We moved to Herat province together with my family.
So let me just slow you down for a second. So what you're saying is that in 98 you finished your schooling, and you got involved with an NGO.
Yeah. They know me as activist in this camp, and they asked me, and they said, if you work with us, we appreciate, because of our activities for women and children, because there is no education in the period of Taliban. And for me, it was important that, because same my age, the girls and women and younger than me and older, there was no education for them in the period of Taliban.
And is that one of the reasons that you were in a refugee camp in Pakistan, in any case, was so that you could get an education?
Yeah. When I finished education, that as I said, even on that time, I had close contact with my people. But then in the period of Taliban, then after that as well, until 2003, as close contact with people I had. But first time when I went in Lojirga 2003, for the first time in my life, I saw the faces of these criminals in person.
I can imagine. So in other words, what you're saying is, until then you knew the power they had, you knew what they had done to your country. Suddenly you are in a room and there they are.
Yeah, and you are looking to them, that how they shamelessly pretend themselves as a Democrat with bloody hands, and how much they killed my people, as more than 65,000 innocent people in Kabul they killed. They did civil war in Afghanistan from 92 to 96.
Now, before we get back to what you're going to say that day, this civil war from 92 to 96, who are the sides?
You know, these warlords, as we divide our people, Mujahideen, that freedom-loving fighter, when all together fight it against Russia occupation, we call them Mujahideen. But when Russia failed in Afghanistan and puppet of Russia, we call them Khalkin Parchami, and they're also killer.
So in the war against the Soviets, the Mujahideen, these Afghans and folks from outside of Afghanistan, yes, come together.
Since Cold War, they got lots of money and gun from CIA and ISI and Iran, fascist regime of Iran and Saudi Arabistan, etc. So they were not real Mujahideen, but my people didn't know them. Why? Because all together fight it against occupation.
Right.
But after that, when Russia fell...
Once the Soviet Union is out, then...
Then all people put the gun on the earth. Then they said, this is the time to build our country, because the occupation forces failed in Afghanistan.
Right, we've won, so now we can rebuild our country.
But on that time, they showed their real nature, their criminal faces, to my people. As every one of these eight fundamentalist parties that since Cold War they were puppet, and they on that time everyone want to be a president, and they first of all destroyed our national unity. Everyone want to come in power and belongs to different ethnics, like Hazara, Pashtun, Tajik, Uzbek. And then they not only destroyed national unity, they did many crimes against human rights and women rights.
So the civil war is in that period between the end of the Soviets and 9/11. And what happens in there, it's, you're saying, form a Mujahideen. Where does the Taliban fit in? Where do they come into this?
You know that when these fundamentalist Mujahideen, not real Mujahideen, as I divided Mujahideen to two parts, even in the parliament, these warlords, these criminal Mujahideen beat at me. Even they threatened me to rape. because I said this truth.
They threatened to rape you in the parliament.
Yeah, when I divided parliamentarian Mujahideen to two parts, which is right, and my people
agree. And the two parts of the Mujahideen you see are?
Yeah, most of them are freedom-loving fighters against the occupation. They are real Mujahideen. Criminal Mujahideen, a bunch of killers that like Rabbani, Kanuni, Dostum, Ismail Khan, Fahim, Sayaf.
You're not afraid to name names.
Of course that I never afraid, and I'm saying I don't fear that. I fear political silence against injustice. And they are in power. They are Pinochet, Franco, Suharto, Mussolini, and Bushes of my country. With suit and tie, they are in power. Anyway, but...
So at the Loya Jirga, you see them face to face. You see them sitting there mocking democracy, and you stand up.
Yeah, that's why I couldn't tolerate that, how to sit silence. As always, I'm saying that for a second, if I get silence, I said to my people, think that this is like my political death.
Death.
Death, yeah.
Yeah, in other words, if you are silent, you are as good as dead.
Yeah, and that's why I said the truth, because still the first casualty is the truth. I teared their mask, and on behalf of my people, I said, these criminals who control Loya Jirga and with the mask of democracy, and after 9/11 they came in power, they must be powerless, and they must be brought to the national and international criminal court. But they in power, and they couldn't tolerate, because I exposed their mask for the Democrat justice-loving people around the world.
Very good. So in this moment, in this, as you say, sort of a mockery of democracy because of who is there, you, at the time, 25-year-old woman, get up, say this speech. What happens then?
Yeah, it was briefly that I said about this speech. They gave me...
A minute and a half or something, yes?
And less than 2 minutes, they couldn't tolerate. And my life has been changed. You can see on some clip there as well, that on my website, and also a filmmaker came from Danish filmmaker, the documentary Enemies of Happiness, that they made. And there also you can see. Anyway, but word after that understood them. And they physically want to beat me. And even some fundamentalist woman, very bad word they used to me. Same like in the parliament, one fundamentalist woman told me, if you do not sit silence, I will do something against you that no man dare to do. And then I just said, you are a victim. And these kind of women, I think they are the victim, and they are not real representative. Most of them right now in power in the parliament, and they have just symbolic role, peace show. Because under the banner of women rights, human rights, they occupied my country, U.S. and NATO. And it's still playing with the destiny of my people. Yeah.
So let me just... So that happens in Loya Jirga. Then you are later, 2 years later, elected to parliament. Yes?
Yeah, but this election was quite non-democratic election as well. But because I was very famous also for the... Not only for my people, for Democrat people around the world. And if they do not allow me to come to the parliament, as all the boxes was in the hands of mafia. But their cheating was clear for the world.
So in other words, if... they hadn't allowed you to win, if they hadn't counted your votes accurately, it would have been obvious.
Yeah, as they did, because everyone said, even Sky and Earth of Farah people, in Farah people, all of them also, that I will be the first winner, because everyone saw the strong solidarity of these innocent Safar people, not only in Farah, around Afghanistan.
And Farah is the province.
Yeah, that I become elected. But the
and
only
it's
thing...
It's a rural province with a small population, yes?
Yeah, but close to Herat, and on that time, the only things that they did, they made me second winner. They do not allow me to be their first winner. They showed their power.
Right, right. But they did seat you. Mm. You were banned from parliament in 2007 for what?
Yeah, in the beginning of parliament, they couldn't tolerate me. They turned off microphone, they beat at me, and they threatened me to rape, and etc. But because they couldn't make me silence, and I exposed their crimes in their own house, in the national house, so I divided a parliamentarian to two parts. First part, I said most of members of the parliament, more than 80%, are warlords, drug lords, criminals.
And 80% warlords, drug lords, criminals.
Yeah. In the second part, that some Democrat men and women, real representatives, that even you can count them. I said they are Democrat. Then they did censor the first part about Democrat, only second part about these criminals, that I compared some of their crimes with some animals. And I said, it's worse than animal stable. It's like zoo. They are wild criminals that walking with two legs, but they are worse than some wild animal even. Some wild animal will eat some innocent animal, then for a while getting silenced because getting full. But they are not getting full still. They are killing more the people, shed the blood of the people, kill more innocent women, and continue to their crimes.
And for that, they said that you were insulting other members of the parliament, and for that you should be banned.
Yeah, they told me that I must say apologize, which was quite illegal, like that they banned me. Then I said apologize to some useful animal that I compared, and I must say that. No need for telling the truth to say apologize, and also to these criminals, to these misogynists. Let me tell you a few examples why I compared with wild animals. Not only the crimes in the past they committed, also civil war they did. Right now that they are in power, they are not lawmakers, they are lawbroker. One member of parliament, his name is Haji Painda. He has son with two other warlords, raped three women, three men, three warlords, one of them son of the member of the parliament, raped 14-year-old girl, her name is Bashira, in Saripur province.
And this is known.
And this is known. And also, this Haji Painda changed the age of his son less than 18 that do not be punished. Another member of parliament, his name is Piram Kol. And Piram Kol killed two innocent child. One is 6 years old, one is 7 years old. Two in the pocket, which made by clothes. Two in the river. And when people find the dead body of these two children in Rostock district of Tahar province in the north of Afghanistan, they had huge demonstration. Nobody listened their voice, and this cruel man enjoying in the parliament. Another member of the parliament.
Okay.
Many examples now doing crime, not only in the
That's
past.
That's right. So you're saying that these people are committing crimes right now, and you're saying rather than serving in parliament, they should be put on trial.
Of course. They're not lawmakers. They're lawbroker. We have jungle law in Afghanistan.
To the present. The present, you are banned from parliament, yet you return to Afghanistan, your life is threatened, you when you're in Afghanistan, you wear the full burqa, you have armed guards and so on. What the American people and my listeners probably want to know is, as I said at the top, the reason that we are told we are there, the reason that we should maybe send more troops is because two things. One, what will happen if we leave? And two, for the good of the women. So first, the argument for the good of the women, that's why the U.S. and NATO should continue to occupy and fight, yes or no?
They occupied my country, which is so clear. As soon as possible, they must leave Afghanistan, because they pushed us from the frying pan to the fire after 9/11. And still they are sending their taxpayer money to such a mafia corrupt system, and also still supporting these warlords and now negotiating with Taliban. They don't want to stop arming the warlords. They don't want to support democratic-minded, justice-loving people of my country, while we have a lot, like your country. If after 9/11 they give chance to these democratic-minded people of my country, two times Afghanistan was rebelled.
Okay, let's deal with
no
that.
Troops in Afghanistan.
Most people in America do not know that there is a democratic alternative. They are told that the democratic alternative is Karzai, right? Who are these Democrats? What is this alternative? If we left, who would be there to oppose the warlords?
You know, as I come from Afghanistan, we are on the fire. We are from sandwich squashed between two powerful enemies from the sky, occupation forces bombing, killing civilians. Civilians, most of them women and children. In the ground, Taliban and warlords together continue to their fascism. So, Karzai, this shameless puppet man, did compromise with these criminals, and still he is doing it now, and invite Gulbuddin Hekmatyar and Mullah Omar as...
So you said Karzai is a puppet,
yeah,
but
he right now, this 8 years, he did compromise with the warlords, this 8 years.
For 8 years, he's compromised with the warlords.
And still, he do compromise, and even invite Mullah Omar, the Sowers and Gulbuddin Hekmatyar, this fascist man as well, to join the government.
That's right. So he has actually brought in additional warlords as his running mates.
Yeah. So situation will be more disastrous, especially for the women. And you said under the banner of women rights, that as I said, they come in Afghanistan. Later I will give you about women rights. But you say if these troops leave Afghanistan, what will happen? Today itself is like civil war. By presence of thousands of troops in Afghanistan, first, we do not have security, which is more important than food and water.
Wait a minute. Those who favor American military over there will say that our military provides security.
How they provide security? That your government say we build some schools there while there is no security. The girls go to school, they throw acids on their faces. What happened in Kandahar? Media in Afghanistan gave report. Hundreds of girls become poisons. By presence of thousands of troops, suicide attack, also rape cases, domestic violences, killing of women increasing rapidly.
Well, but wait. You're saying that the presence of our troops does not help security?
Of course not. You saw even in Kabul a few days before, UN office has been attacked. Sirena Hotel, the safest place of Kabul, has been attacked. Around Afghanistan, the government has no control, and also situation for millions of Afghans is like hell.
Some people say we should change our policy so that we put our troops in the urban areas and we just provide security in the urban areas and let the rural areas do whatever they want.
You know, in the faraway provinces, in this area that you mentioned, there is security even worse. You know, there also we do not have security. Today, millions of Afghans, by presence of thousands of troops, they suffer from injustice, insecurity, corruption, joblessness, poverty. And this 8 years is enough that U.S. government know that their policy is quite wrong policy. And if really Mr. Obama honest for Afghan people, there are some other alternative first.
Okay, the alternatives.
First, the alternative first. End this occupation, which is not war on terror, war on innocent civilians. Secondly, stop arming the warlords and not negotiate with Taliban. The main alternative, the third one, support the democratic-minded, justice-loving people of my country.
And who are they?
We have a lot. Not only Ahmad and Mahmoud to tell you the name to you, like your country. Still, they are underground activists. Some democratic parties we have, more than parties intellectuals, but because of security. Who guaranteed their security if I mention their name? While we have a lot, at least one of them, like Rawa organization, their activist was there. They are famous.
Rawa is one group you're mentioning.
One group is Rawa.
Another RAWA.org.
Yeah. Ambastagi party is this Ambastagi wise party. Even their leader told me, Malala, we are not able to publish our magazine. Still, they are underground activists because of lack of money.
So let me just a sec. So the democratic folks you say are underground because of the situation, and you feel that if the U.S. and NATO withdraw their troops, that these democratic folks will emerge?
Of course, they are active now. They will be more active. But not only these democratic people, with the support of the ordinary people, millions of these innocent, suffer people of Afghanistan, they are nothing, but they support them. But if U.S. and its allies a little bit, let us Britain peace. They occupied my country. They killed civilians. You know, my life story is an example on behalf of those Democrat and also ordinary people of my country. When you compare my life as a Democrat activist with the dark period of Taliban, on that time it was risky. We wear this disgusting burqa, which is symbol of oppression. Always I'm saying it's like shot for life body. But now, even with burqa and bodyguard not safe, this disgusting burqa now gives lives to the woman. Still underground activists, many assassination attempts, many other activists, brave activists, Democrat, they called women like Zakia Zaki, Malala Kakar, Sitara Achikzai, Nadia Anjuman, etc. And still they continue to do fascism not only against Democrat, also innocent people.
You have hope that if the NATO and U.S. withdraw, that the people of Afghanistan, the democratic people of Afghanistan, will rise up against the Taliban and against the warlords and against Karzai?
Of course, still they do struggle. Karzai's regime is an example how much it is weak. And political knowledge of my people is a big hope for the future of Afghanistan. We almost lost everything. We gained one positive thing. This political consciousness of my people and resistance of my people, that day by day they stand up against occupation, against warlords. They do demonstration, but mainstream media never showed their demonstrations. And also that we have proudful history. We have lots of hopes. We three times British want to occupy Afghanistan. They felt Russia as a superpower country want to occupy Afghanistan, faced with resistance of my people. If voluntarily they do not leave Afghanistan, they will face with resistance of my people. Let me tell you that. You know, U.S. government now in Afghanistan, $100 million a day they use for war, while the total aid for the reconstruction of Afghanistan a day is $7 million. And most of these money...
Okay, let me repeat that number. You're saying that we spend $100 million a day on war and $7 million...
Dollar a day for total reconstruction.
For reconstruction.
But most of this money went into pocket of the warlords, drug lords, NGO lords, and these are now negotiating with Taliban. Only this point is enough for justice-loving people of the U.S. This 8 years, they changed Afghanistan to the center of drug. Medieval mind
of
Taliban.
What she just said is that in the 8 years since our invasion and occupation, Afghanistan is now the center of the opium trade in the world.
The center of the drug and safe haven for terrorism. This is not democracy. Democracy meaning is government of people for people. But enemies of democracy in power and shamelessly U.S. government and NATO pretend themselves to the great people of the world that we are bringing democracy in Afghanistan, which is impossible.
Finally, if I give you one more minute, what would you say to listeners? What should they do? What should they try to do to help the people of Afghanistan?
Of course, my message to them is that no nation can donate liberation to another nation.
But let me just repeat that in case they didn't get it. No nation can donate liberation to another nation.
Yeah, and my message is that please educationally support my people, democratic-minded people, to them, innocent people of my country, because education is a key toward emancipation. And my message to them is that injustice anywhere is the start of justice everywhere. Please raise your voice against the wrong policy, war crime of your government. As a justice-loving, democratic-minded, peace-loving people of U.S. and around the world, because always nations, peoples are separate from the wrong policymakers. As always, I'm saying silence of good people is worse than the action of bad people. Don't forget us.
Okay, the book is A Woman Among Warlords, the extraordinary story of an Afghan who dared to raise her voice. The website is malalijoya.com, M-A-L-A-L-A-I, Joya, J-O-Y-A, one word, malalijoya.com. Thank you, Malala Joya. Okay. Keep up your good work.
Thank you. Thanks for your support.